with their discretion if they have to charge, with the nuances and whether they can prosecute or not. So I know the numbers are up significantly. It's going to go through from regime with DA to the regime to the next DA. And I do believe anecdotally that that does help drive that, along with the traffic stops.
Yeah.
So we use OTS grants to increase on such specific, seatbelts, distracted driving, that stuff. It also discourages others from, driving around knowing that the officers are pulling people over on driving safety and driving those numbers down, but it encompasses everything. And let's say we're being proactive.
Any public comment? All right. I did have the questions about on Bay Street. I'm a little bit curious about now. What is the how are you coordinating with the retail private property security, private property security and property patrol and DPD? Are you still have or you have overtime report, right? That might actually.
Oh, is this an overtime question?
It's not the overtime question. We haven't reached that one. I'm curious about what is the current coordination with Bay Street?
We enjoy a frequent, robust communication with the Bay Street security team and management team. They are very good about communicating with our community services division here within the city, who then relay information to us. As one example, this past weekend, we received information that several juveniles were planning to come to Bay Street and cause a number of local problems. And so having received that information early, we were able to muster a few extra officers to come in on our day off to be ready to respond to that.
Did they show up? Or?
Yes.
Okay, great. Good job. So I am actually very impressed with the numbers that you've been decreasing. Numbers are always good. You did let me know about someone in your department who had all their vehicles stolen. You let me know about that. So for me, I think I just would like to see maybe more town. People have been coming to me and talking about the Triangle neighborhood. I mentioned it to you at the Healthy Families Festival, and I mentioned it to you at Noble, where maybe we could do some kind of a town hall. I know you've been wonderful and amazing with doing coffee with cops, and at least I know there's one coming up in Waterbury, and they're very, very happy to have that. Maybe some outreach in that neighborhood, because the school board member, the trustee, as well as a former mayor, talk to me about that, smashing off windows. Really, I don't think it was just vandalism crime versus anything else, but it was of some concern where I think that neighborhood feels that they're not being shown as much love by the PD. So I think just even if you held it Emeryville wide in the senior center, it's a central location now where you could just answer their questions and let them know this is what is being done. And it's always good to share the data where the crime has decreased, because when those things happen, the perception, as you had explained at one meeting, escalates for those neighbors and for that particular person that, it happened to me, a wheel on my own car got stolen right in the garage of Water. Thinking, wow, this is rampant. And that's when you explained to me that's the perception. So I think that conversation maybe will be helpful if you have it in that neighborhood. And we can publicize it enough so that people can show up and at least know for the record that neighborhood is being taken care of. I know you do something with the Avalon Senior Center.
Yes, ma'am. And so you prefer to get the senior center than that Avalon? Do you have a preference?
I do think it should be, it would be better served at the senior center, only because people who don't usually go to Avalon will know that this is a location in Avalon. They can access it as well. It's walking distance, I think, for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
We started the conversation with Sergeant Mayoga. That's one of the community outreach guys is really good at it. And we had talked to Betty Rosales,
Yes.
But we'll pivot to the senior center and we'll do some advertising. And we're looking at doing probably on a weekend. On a weekend in June and towards the middle or end of June.
That's perfectly fine. I'll leave it to your discretion. It's just because they mentioned it as early as, I think the Healthy Families, was it in March or was it in February? It was in March, right? Or April, actually. No, it was April because that's the Easter. Yeah.
I don't really know what Easter is. So.
So it would be just, that's when I think two people the came up to me and mentioned the break-in, and then someone else mentioned that the car, that was a car theft, not a car burglary. So I think people are just being a little bit more concerned, and I get those texts now from that neighborhood as well. So
we're on it there, and they're gonna make it out. We enjoy doing it too, so it's definitely part of our DNA now. So no problem.
So we're going to go ahead and continue. I just want to see the flock data whenever you can share it, because it was mentioned a few needs now.
So I think that you misconstrued what your request was. One of my thoughts was like a traffic flow of how many cars. I don't think that data is possible because it's a rolling. Well, I'm not positive, so I think let's talk offline about exactly what you're looking for.
Okay.
And then we can see what we can do with the flock. Okay. Before, the information that we were getting last year was individually drawn up by one officer on graveyard, that person left. Yeah. He had this whole matrix thing he was doing. And so with, the burn on staff, I'm looking for something from flock that's automated that we can push some buttons and do some code. So what's the plan? Is that what you're looking for? Hold on.
I think that's what Lieutenant Fred Dowry used to provide that, and I've been missing that data because
Fred was doing individually that was being done by a sergeant prior to that.
Oh, I see.
And so it's one of the things I don't like to, I'll do whatever you ask me to do, but is to have a system that is run by one person, and soon that person leaves, that system no longer carried forward. And so that was the problem. Right now, no one really knows how to do it. We'd have to.
Oh, is it flock responsible for just providing the data to you if you ask for it?
Yeah, they provide data. We have the data, but the data that we were providing in the meeting was specific to us going through the data and hand counting certain information. And that's what Fred was putting into the document, using a lot of time to do that.
And I know your department is very lean right now, right?
Yes, ma'am. But we'll look at it. I'm not saying we're done trying, but we'll look at it some more when everyone's, we have people in school, management school, and so we're still trying to balance everything out to get that back up.
Yeah, so, or if it's easily accessible, maybe you can just show people that this is where they can go.
Well, we have portal.
Yeah.
And it's been online, but I'm not sure showing what you wanted to show. Okay. Showing we have all our stops.
Yeah.
All the time the car goes through, and it's only good for 30 days, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So it's hard to do something that's continuous over a period of time about flowing like traffic flow off the halls. It'll be good for 30 days, and then it'll be gone.
Yeah. I think that what I would like to see, and what people would like to see, is what was being provided, where they were corresponding or correlating the basically justifying the existence of the flock cameras and what they're doing for Emeryville. And that's what Lieutenant Dowell was doing, is he was saying, well, we had these many cars go by or something to that effect, and were a result of the flock operation. And that typically helps, I think, in terms of showing that those cameras are working. We're putting them to good use.
Okay. So if you want that other document that he was doing, I think we can still do that. I think that's automated.
Okay.
Yeah. He was doing it was way more than just that. But as far as you want to see, like 500 cars came through and 27 of them were stolen, and we pulled over and stopped giving in the rest of those cars, I think we could do that.
If that's easy enough, would just be helpful to show that the cameras are working and they're good, and there should be more. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
In addition to, well, I think I understand what was just discussed. This is from the website. Okay. This is accessible through the Emeryville website, through the police page.
Okay.
And this is the transparency portal, which is fed by Flock and is automatically updated. So it shows that we keep data for 30 days unless it becomes a part of a actual criminal investigation. We have 16 current cameras in our city. We have hot list alerts for special victim section things, for missing children, for Amber Alerts, et cetera. This is the total number of license plates that have been scanned over the past month. Here's the number of hot lists, which are like the wanted vehicles or the missing person vehicles, things like that. And then the number of searches conducted by our personnel into various license plates. And then we have, as required by law and policy, we have our policy readily accessible to anybody who's review our internal police policy on this topic. So this can be accessed by anybody by looking at the website.
Yeah.
I think I understand what the mission is now for the reports, and we'll make sure we follow up.
So these, can I ask you a question relating to that number of vehicles that was shown? These vehicles I think I might have asked this before. This is those 12. This is only one read, right? So 418,000 vehicles passed through the city through the 12 cameras. Is this by each camera, or is it by?
Yeah, it's each camera. So the car could be counted multiple times.
So the car is counted 12 times. It went through all the stops.
Yeah, the car went.
All the cameras.
Cameras. Go ahead.
So we have 16 cameras throughout the city.
Yeah.
So these are all unique reads to a specific plate. So if one plate goes through
two
cameras, it's going to, from my understanding, it's going to count as one plate.
The system's
going to identify
that it's
been, good.
Yeah. It's been identified. So it may trip through 10 of the 12 cameras that we currently have.
Yeah. But
it's a unique read, so it's going to identify through one plate rescue.
I see. That's good to know. So that means this basically is saying that 480,000 cars passed through the city at some point.
So it gives us a rough number. This doesn't obviously doesn't count some car, like the car doesn't have a license plate.
Yeah.
Some people have like these anti-reflection things on their license plate that make it difficult for them to read. People will try their best to kind of.
Yeah.
Just screw around this. It gives us a good rough estimate as far as how many cars are traveling through our city.
Right. That's good to know. I appreciate it. So again,
I didn't know it.
That's so good.
That's why I have them.
You have great staff and you do a great job. Thank you so much. So we can move on to the next item if there's nothing further to discuss. All right. Then 6.3, which is the overtime report by Captain Blanche.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay, so for March and April, I'll sort of speak about them as a total body here at the same time. We see a consistent theme that we talked about at our last meeting, and which we anticipate will continue through the year, of patrol, filling in for patrol staffing as the major driver of our non-reimbursable overtime. You'll see in March that 7 of the top 10 were patrol-related items, vacation relief, or on-duty injury, or backfill, or sick relief, or comp time relief. So that just means somebody wasn't at work due to whatever reason, and somebody else had to get overtime to fill in, to fulfill our minimum staffing requirements per shift. The reimbursable overtime is actually sort of in second place in March and in first place in April. This is our grant funded overtime. This was much higher. That category was much higher last year because we talked about last time, last year was Apple would pay for an officer to stand by their store to prevent crime. Those type of contracts do not currently exist in our structure. And so this reimbursable is grant funded overtime, such as click it or ticket operations or DUI enforcement operations, things like that, which we run ancillary to our normal patrol function and which are required as part of being awarded the grant money. For April, again, same story as it were, patrol ODI, backfill, vacation relief, comp time relief, sick relief, all account for majority of the money spent in overtime in that month. Yeah, we're seeing just the carrying forward of what we anticipated at the beginning of the year. Themes remain the same. That's much more context than us.
What percentage is all percentage of the overtime is discretionary, and what is it that is required to keep your department the minimum functioning? Is that what the grants are for?
The grants are sort of to the side of and in addition to, and so we have reconfigured some internal processes as of late to sort of force prioritize the filling of patrol shifts before the filling of grant funded overtime shifts. Grants are very important. We hope to continue receiving grant money and participating, although as we attrit down to nearly 40% staffing, at some point we fear that we just won't be able to fulfill those extra shifts because everybody is already taken up with handling a beat, responding to 911 calls. I've lost the plot on your question, but did that answer what you're asking?
Wondering how much of the overtime is caused by vacancies, leave relief, then what versus like minimum staffing for investigations, special events. Is there a percentage that because that's just, and how much of it is discretionary versus what you need for exactly this kind of situation?
I don't know that we could tease out how much of it is due to our low overall staffing numbers because we still require the maintenance of 3 officers per shift throughout the city. So, however, we're not quite to the point where we are forcing mandatory overtime of any of the officers. So all of this overtime is done by our small team recognizing the need and volunteering to fill in for overtime money. They're raising their hand like, I will fill in, I'll cover that person because they're sick, or okay, I was going to go to a birthday party, but now I'm coming into work tonight. And so there's a lot of moving pieces to this. All of it is a symptom of our overall low staffing, and much of this patrol related overtime would be mitigated if we had more officers to throw at the problem, as it were.
Yeah, I understand. So, and how is that going? How is it coming with you being back to being fully staffed or at least adequately staffed?
Yes. We have 2 recruits currently in the Contra Costa County Academy. As we discussed last time, we utilize either Contra Costa County or Alameda County County Sheriff's Office Academies to do the basic training for the officers. So 2 are going through the process right now, and we have 1 officer that is in our FTO field training program, and we hope to see them sort of graduate from that program and become a full-fledged officer in the next few months. The 2 officers that are in the academy currently, they're still fresh in the academy, and that's a 6-month-long process, and when they get done, there's another 6-ish months of field training, so we don't anticipate seeing them fully active until February.
But your department is funded for those positions, right?
Right.
And that overtime kind of, the figures that you've given us here are going to be better, or are we going to see the same expense as a result? That's what I'm trying to think is.
So it depends how you look at the budget and how you want to call it. We've had 4 different finance directors, and so, and this is my 3rd organization. Everyone does a little differently. If you look at the actual just money, if you look at the money, you're saving way more money by these vacancies. That's what we have in town. Besides the OPEB, other post-employment benefits that we would be paying for as a city being set aside, and the straight salary. So money is being saved. The way that we do it, all that money stays in the general fund. So I'm not being credited, or PD is not being credited for having those savings. Some other organizations, you have those savings, I'm allowed to spend on other things, like drones or anything else on my benefit department. But that's kind of not how we do it here, which is fine. But we're not going to have any relief for a period of time. We had interviews last week. We're interviewing every week, put 2 more people into the backgrounds, I think, for potential hire. But again, they're brand new people. We're getting another year plus before that are here and we can use utilize. So there's going to be an ongoing issue with no particular release in sight until sometime in 2027.
Okay,
well,
that's hopefully sooner than later.
Well, it's a concern. I wouldn't want to go too far, but it's a concern about burnout from the officers.
Yeah.
They're working significant overtime now. A lot of reasons why I believe crime is down regionally, nationwide, is a subtle factor in that. But before that, our crime really never went up because we're using grant funding to surplus our patrol staff. And so we were getting extra work done by officers coming in because we were fully staffed for closely fully staffed. So we had a lot of things going on. So that helps to drive down crime. So we'll see how it goes. We're going to try to take care of the city does a great job with recognizing, you know, as best you can. But if you're not missing your parties and birthdays and all that stuff often, it's tiring. But the people that have left our department as of recent, when I've had my next interviews, and those are none of the issues that they're leaving for. It's not like our department. I know if I'm allowed to say that, you know, they're not saying they're leaving because of me and our command staff. Matter of fact, they're the happiest they've been with the command staff as recently assembled, but they're leaving for different, they can't afford to live in the Bay Area. So moving to Placerville, and one guy's wife is also a peace officer. They want to move to Placerville, downsize.
Well, they're leaving? The couple is leaving? The leaves
are leaving? No. One officer's wife is also a peace officer.
Oh, I see.
She's going to quit.
Okay.
And then we'll move to Placer because they can afford a different kind of lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Another officer wanted to move to closer to their job. Okay. So driving all the way across county, they want to live or closer to where they live. They have a baby. So those things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And then a lot of young officers, just young in general, that you're gonna have a lot of life-changing issues. Gonna get married, have babies, and they're gonna make decisions that will benefit them. So all we can do is not make sure that we're competitive in the region, and that command staff and other issues don't give them reason to not want to be here. You know, that's hopefully I'm gonna be the reason why you leave.
I think you're the reason why many people stay.
Yeah, some will, some, but you know, your family is the most important thing in the world. And so they're going to figure out what's best for them. And I encourage people, I'd rather you be somewhere else and be happy and keep your family intact. This is a very stressful job.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my philosophy with those, and not anyone people leave.
All right, so with that, you are on top of staff. It looks like at least you have two people in the pipeline that will be coming. Hopefully no others are leaving.
No.
Except for that one who's going to Placerville to be with his spouse or her spouse.
You know, right now, things are always fluid in
one person. Yeah,
yeah. In any business, not just us.
Yeah.
We're special, but what's special about PD is that it takes so long for you to become eligible to be a full-time officer. And that's what people generally do not understand, is that I just can't pull someone out and say, hey, you can be, without having a, I don't even say a little a clerk, but just having someone that's like, you file things, and so we can teach you quickly how to do a filing or do data inputting. We don't have that. It's a very specialized position and very, you know, it's 12 dimensions of what we're looking to hire you for, and you're gonna have a clean record, and you have to be able to run, and there's a lot of things that are involved with that. A lot of people do not understand. It's very difficult to be an officer. When I applied, and probably these guys applied, 900 people put in to be an officer. Now we have 100, if that, I might be exaggerating that, who want to do this job. Part of that is full economy. When you're running well, and there's jobs to be had, a lot of times it's not the first job that people think of doing. There's a lot of sacrifices, possibility of bad things happening to you or your body, and having to do bad things to people, and not everyone's ready to do that.
I understand, but yeah, I mean, it's encouraging that some people are still wanting to apply for,
The ones we get are really different. They're different people. We're definitely a small percentage of the American population that want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. That sounds very discouraging, but hopefully things with this department will improve, and I am Yeah, I'm happy that we are in a city where your department is well regarded in the region. So that's goes to speak to a lot of what all of you do, all of you in this room do. So really appreciate all your efforts. Thank you so much. Any other discussions? So with that, I don't think there's anything else that we can ask for future agenda items. You've already told me that you'll take care of the flop of situation, so I'm not going to just repeat that. But with regard to the mail portion, mail theft portion of it, do we want to put some sort of a thing in there for a future agenda item? What do you, how do you suggest we put that in there?
So we've talked to the postmaster in the past a few years ago when I first got here. I'm sure that postmaster's moved on, but we'll call that postmaster again and see what we can do to collaborate with him again. And we'll definitely see if there's any appetite for the electeds to contact Congressman Steve Tosheimer. I worked with before in the past, a great congresswoman. So, you know, we have old fashioned have solved the problem. And as Connie brought up, the problem will continue to rise. The volume of the Knox box buttons are stolen. And so it'll flare up. We'll go get out of jail and we'll still have them in the locks and we'll go back to the stealing. So there's an electronic measurement, which I did not know about. I knew about it, but I don't think that we're, you know, to get us higher in the priority level, like as you mentioned, we'll take some effort. We'll take some concentrated effort. Whatever's going to help us not have those crimes will be down the track.
I think it helps. Are there any grants for those kind of things? I have not researched that. But if that's something that I know that Congresswoman Steinman would like, probably give some money or some grants that can be used for that effort in conjunction, not just with the PD, but with the postmaster's
office. Federal money to help pay for, you know. I haven't heard of such a grant, and we look at grants often, but we'll continue to look, and we have a great advocate right here sitting with us.
We will talk after I adjourn, and then if there's nothing on the future agenda from you.
Nothing further from me.
All right.
I'll add one thing that we're going to outfit an EV vehicle in the next session, a patrol vehicle.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that we'll be exploring, that whole option. So the next ones that come up, I don't know when our next rotation is, but one of those vehicles, if not two, will be patrol vehicles. So we can try them out throughout our city and see how that works for us.
So are you the pilot for this EV vehicle in the region?
No, man. There's been pilots been several places. Fremont's had cars. A car and other cities have had vehicles. One city down south has a whole fleet of vehicles, but that was sponsored through some congressmen and some other funding that they had to make the infrastructure tight. I think ours would be just to see if there were vehicles out there that we could actually use and get comfortable in, which I'm sure there are. Okay. Captain Collins is looking at that, and so that's, I want to put that on, and we'll be coming back with some stuff and hopefully sometime this year.
Yeah, please do then add it to the future agenda item or however you want to add it as informational item or as future agenda item, whichever way is easier for you. I think a lot of council members have expressed interest in that item where we want to see how that will function for our city. And if there's a possibility, because our city is one of the smaller, more dense cities, and Ava Community Energy gives grants to some of single family residential solar and to power electric vehicles, electric chargers. So I'm hoping that we can, you know, maybe get some grants through them. And that's one of the things there's a meeting this Wednesday I'd like to put out their future agenda item as something for a city like ours that does not have solar and single family residents where they could do something energy saving in this manner for us, because all cities, and this would be applicable region wide, I think, because like you said, Fremont has had patrol cars that are electric patrol cars. And which other region did you mention?
Palo Alto has one currently.
Okay.
We're sort of in generation two of EV vehicles. And so there's a few options that we can consider. Chevy has one, Rivian, and Tesla. Got some options.
Yeah, so you have some options. And hopefully, if you get the grants, you can be, you know, more actively pursuing that option. So I understand that was what the hesitation was the money or the grant that was not there or wasn't dedicated yet to that item.
Yeah, it's a as a critical infrastructure project, it's the charging network. That's the biggest cost and the biggest concern for us for rapid turnaround of a vehicle so that it can be used throughout the day by different shifts. However, I think we can dip a toe in the water and see what we can do with one. And maybe at some point we'll approach maximum capacity and then we'll really have to confront the electrical infrastructure problem, but we're committed to trying it.
And I really appreciate that you are committed to trying it. Thank you for doing that. And from my side, I will do what I can to try to get that infrastructure through AVO or any other bodies or grants that we can. Thank you. All right. So with that, I'm going to ask for any announcements or member comments. Seeing and hearing none, we are going to go in and adjourn. It is now 4:59 and I'm adjourned. Right.
Thank you.